Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Autism Empowerment Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the autism and Asperger's communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click the Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, and support services. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Autism Empowerment Radio. My name is Karen Krecha, and I am the co-founder and executive director of Autism Empowerment. Autism Empowerment, as you heard in our pre-recorded intro, is a 501c3 public charity, and we are dedicated to making life better and more meaningful for individuals and families in the autism and Asperger communities locally and worldwide. We serve all ages and abilities and promote four foundational pillars of positivity: accept, enrich, inspire, and empower. Our vision is an engaged autism and Asperger's community that connects individuals, families, educators, and care providers with valuable resources. We provide free or low-cost events, programs, trainings, and services. Everyone on our board is either on the autism spectrum or related to someone who is, and we're your proactive autism allies. Today's show recording date is Monday, March 4th, 2013, and I thank you so much for tuning in. After the show, we want you to stay connected, so please check us out through our website at www.autismempowerment.org and also through social media. You can connect with us on Facebook. We're Autism Empowerment there, and you can also connect with us on Twitter. To find these direct links, you can just go ahead and go to our autismempowerment.org webpage, and we have those there. We appreciate you spreading the word to your friends, family, and colleagues, because the more you know about us, the faster we're going to grow. Our special guest today, I'm really, really excited about this. It's Zev Glassenberg, and if that name sounds familiar to you, it is because he's a two-time contestant on The Amazing Race and a co-host on the weekly internet show Let's Get Digital. Zev initially received special notice from the media because he was the first contestant appearing on The Amazing Race on the autism spectrum with Asperger syndrome. He quickly won the hearts of America and my own family as well. Before I bring Zev on air, I want to give a special thanks to my last guests, John and Mariah Waite from Mighty Oak Autism Family Consulting in Wisconsin. And I want to let you know on Wednesday, March 6th at 10 a.m., we're hosting Courtney Freitag, who's the publisher and founder of Spectrums Magazine. Spectrums is the only print magazine in Oregon and Southwest Washington dedicated to the autism spectrum, and they are debuting their premier issue with a free copy for all attendees at Autism Empowerment's Easter Egg Hunt for Acceptance of All Abilities on Saturday, March 30th at McKenzie Stadium in Vancouver, Washington. If you're in the Northwest area, you can find out about the Egg Hunt on our website as well. Courtney also has a little guy on the spectrum and is very passionate about the project. I'm on the editorial advisory board, and it's going to be really neat. So check into that interview coming up. Okay, so I have to admit to our listeners that I am a big, big, huge, huge reality TV show buff. Our family has watched every season of The Amazing Race, and I keep telling my husband, John, that it would be awesome when the boys are older if we could be on the race ourselves. But for now, I'm going to live vicariously through the experiences of today's guest, Zev Glassenberg. Zev and his race partner, Justin Canoe, were contestants on season 15, and after a heartbreaking passport loss, they had the opportunity to come back during the season 18 All-Stars edition and compete again, where they ended up in fourth place. He and Justin have remained friends and now do a weekly internet show called Let's Get Digital on tradiov.com/LA on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. live. You can follow him on Twitter at Zev Glassenberg and at Let Us Get Digital. I'm totally looking forward to hearing from Zev, so I'm bringing him on air right now. Zev, welcome to Autism Empowerment Radio.
Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. So why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners a little about yourself?
Well, I was diagnosed at age 11 with Asperger's syndrome. It wasn't really a big thing growing up. It just kind of I went to a normal high school and junior high and all that fun stuff. And then for Amazing Race, I was flipping through the channels one day, and I saw these people running around the world doing a scavenger hunt. I'm like, oh, that looks awesome. I want to do that. So I guess it took a while, maybe, I guess 15 seasons or so. I don't think I was old enough when I first saw it because it's been going for so long. But I originally asked my dad to try out with me, but he didn't want to do it. So then I asked Justin, and he was like, okay, find out when to do it, and we'll fill out the paperwork. And he didn't think we were going to get on, but I knew we were going to get on, because why not us?
So why not?
Yeah.
Well, so you had a good feeling you were going to get picked. Was it a long process?
Yeah, it was super long. It was like 3 to 4 months, and he had kind of given up. But I kept checking the dates when they were, like, when the interview process was going, ending, and all that kind of stuff.
Very cool.
And then we got a call one day, and he thought I had put one of my friends up to call him and tell him that he had made it to, like, the final interview process. And then, nope. And I told him, nope, we didn't. And let's go and do this. And that's what happened.
Very cool. It's a good thing he didn't, like, hang up on the person thinking he'd been punked or something.
Yes. That's a very good thing.
So now, what was that whole process? You have to give up quite a few weeks of time to be able to be on the show. Once you heard that you were going to be there, were you working at the time, or did you just kind of think that you're going to get on the show, so you just kind of waited? How did that work?
I actually wasn't working at the time. I'm still not working. I'm still looking for work.
Okay, listeners, so if you want to put Zev to work,
yeah,
he is
open. Please. That would be great. But it's only like 25 days of running the race, so if your boss doesn't want to let you go experience this for a lifetime and have an opportunity to win $1 million, and then you probably shouldn't be working for that person, because he probably doesn't have a heart.
Yeah, I mean, it's so super cool. I mean, if I were your boss, I'd let you go. But anyway, you and Justin, you guys have been friends for a long time, and you still hang out regularly. I remember hearing that you guys met at camp, but our listeners may not know that story. So can you share a little bit more about that with us?
Yes. We were both campers as kids at a camp called Camp Greylock. He's older than me, so we weren't going to camp together at the same time. But then we both went back as counselors. He took like a 10-year break, and he ran into my cousin one summer, and my cousin said, come back to camp, it's really a lot of fun, it's the best job you'll ever have, blah blah blah. And so he came back to camp one summer, and then we ran the flag football program together, and we became good buddies, and the rest is history.
That's cool. So now, how many years have you been friends?
Like 7 or 8.
That's great. That is really cool. Now, I have to ask you about camp, just in general. Was this an overnight camp, or was it like a day camp?
No, it was overnight. I flew from L.A. out to Massachusetts for 2 months for 9 summers.
Wow. And did you ever have any challenges with like the camping experience? I know I'm on the spectrum as well, and like smells and things like outhouses, ugh, that doesn't work for me. How is it for you?
At camp I had no problems because at camp I had no problems. That's all I have to say about that.
Well, we don't have to go into that. How much traveling experience did you have before doing the Amazing Race?
I had a little traveling experience. Nothing like the race. I mean, I had traveled, but not extensively like the race. So nothing really prepares you for the race, because you're just pretty much going and going and going and going and going. You're never really stopping.
So you guys were just kind of on and just, would you just sleep whenever you could find time, or how did that work?
Yeah, the thing is, you run like a mini race each day, and then when you're done with that, they either put you up in a hotel or they don't, which then you have to sleep like in a, on the sidewalk or wherever. And then lots of times there's long plane rides, and I'm a good sleeper, so I can sleep pretty much anywhere. So I would sleep on the planes.
That's good. I mean, that's good that you can do that, because I know not everyone can. But I have a question for you. I used to bowl professionally, and I would drive across the country by myself from event to event. My parents, it freaked them out. It made them very nervous, even though at the time I hadn't yet been diagnosed with Asperger's.
Right.
So I was wondering, how did your family feel when you told them you were going on the Amazing Race and you were going to be gone for so long? Were they worried, or were they supportive, or both?
No, they were very supportive, because they understood it was a dream of mine to go on this show, and they thought it would be a great experience.
That's so cool. That is really cool. Now, what was it like to meet Phil?
Phil's awesome. He's the man.
Can you do his eyebrow thing?
No, only Phil can do that. I think he's going to come on Let's Get Digital in a few weeks, which will be fun.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. So I assume you're still watching The Amazing Race then each season?
Yes, I actually like this season so far, even though they've gone to very, very fancy places. So I'm waiting until these people hit some not-so-nice places. Bora Bora, New Zealand so far?
I know. What's up with that? So now, what were some of your favorite moments in competing? I know you were on two different seasons, so you may have some favorites from each one.
I guess the first season was doing the ducks, because that was just a really good doing the ducks in Cambodia. That was a really cool moment, and that's when I guess maybe I was kind of became better known on the show. They had this really strange, weird moment. And then, what else did I like? I don't know what. I don't know if I really liked a lot of the things. I don't know. I guess all the ones we won, I didn't really have to do anything. It was all pretty much driving based, and Justin was the driver. That's a good question. I haven't really thought about that.
Well, I have to tell you that the duck thing was it was awesome. And you got a nickname from that, right? The Duck Whisperer?
Yes, I got it. The Duck Whisperer. And we made T-shirts.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And do you still have people recognize you and call you the Duck Whisperer?
No, nobody calls me the Duck Whisperer. I don't really get recognized that much anymore. It comes and it goes, and right now it has gone.
Well, maybe with you and Justin doing the Let's Get Digital show, it'll come back again.
Maybe.
You guys are doing some pretty cool stuff. Now, another thing that, you were kind of known for were your silver pajamas.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about those?
Well, I was at my auntie and uncle's house, and I had stepped in his closet, and I had noticed these silver pajamas. And I'm like, I think I had already known I was going back on the race the second time. So I'm like, oh, I'm taking these. I'm definitely wearing these on the race. So, and then when we were in, I think it was China. Well, I had worn it the first day, like when we were still in L.A. to do our orientation interviews again. So I wore it there. And then I knew I was going to wear them on the race. And then when I was in China doing the tea thing, Justin and I decided that would be a good time to bring them out. So that's what I
Now, are they, They're still out. I've seen them on your Let's Get Digital show, but I heard something about them being retired, or is that I wanted to retire them,
but I lost a vote to Justin and our other buddy Kevin, who does the show with us. And they
so you got outvoted, huh?
Yeah, that happens quite a bit.
Well, I did see your pajamas on one of the most one of the biggest trends that's going on right now,
yes.
The Harlem Shake.
Yes.
For those of you out there who don't know what the Harlem Shake is, if you go to YouTube and type in the Harlem Shake, you will see a lot of compilation videos. But Let's Get Digital. You guys did your own version of the Harlem Shake.
Yeah, we did a live one on air.
What was that like?
It was silly and goofy.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to be silly and goofy. I think that's kind of the fun of the whole thing.
I didn't want to do it because of the whole dancing aspect. I don't like dancing. I'm not a good dancer, but they just put a mask on my head and said, do this, and I was okay with it. I think maybe I got a little power from the silver pajamas, too.
Well, yeah, super silver power.
Super silver power.
And think about the thing about the Harlem Shake is, you know, dance skills, it's not really, you know, it's not like Dancing with the Stars. You just kind of
right.
do your own thing. And
exactly.
Yeah. So now, getting back to the race, I was wondering, what's it like? Are the cameramen with you all the time?
Pretty much, except when you're not racing, and then you're usually just sleeping. But the thing is, you do get, for each leg of the race, you get a different set of cameramen.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because otherwise, if you had the same set of cameramen, you could just be like, oh, help us out, help us win the race, and we'll just throw you some of our winnings. So they
And that wouldn't work very well.
Well, I wouldn't have a problem with it, but I'm sure the producers would.
Yeah, I think they have something called a non-disclosure agreement on.
Yeah, but it's cool for them because, you know, they get to travel the world and do all that stuff too. They don't obviously do the race part, but they travel the world and they have the hardest job in the race because they don't get the best sleeping conditions and they have to run around with their like big cameras and battery packs and all this. They're really the unsung heroes of the show. Without them, obviously, the show wouldn't work, but they're like, and they're really good guys. They're cool to hang out with, too.
That's cool. You know, I wonder, you know, because sometimes the angles that they get, I'm thinking, how are they taking that shot? You know, they're doing a really good job showing that, but they have to be in a weird position in order to do that, you know, in some of those, you know, some of the roadblocks and stuff.
Yeah. Well, when you're at, like, a roadblock, they have other camera guys, like stationary people, and they have set up the shots. But, like, when you're running around,
mm-hmm.
it's just two of them following you.
So you're running with your stuff, and they're running with a big camera.
Yeah, they're running with a huge, like, 40-pound camera.
Backwards.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it.
Well, you know, their show, how many Emmys? I know that they've won an awful lot.
I think they've won, like, 8 in a row now.
That's
or
great.
8 or 9, yeah.
That's great. What was it like to, and I know you've probably been asked this a lot of times, I think it's probably pretty obvious what the answer is.
No, this is the first time I've ever done a race interview.
Is it?
No.
Oh, well, okay. So then I will ask you whatever I want. When you guys lost your passport, I mean, I know that we at home were, like, devastated, but I know that it had to have been magnitude, like, by a million for you guys.
Yes.
Was there anything behind the scenes, you know? Did you guys ever get your passports back?
We did. I think it happened on a Friday or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think it happened on a Friday. So somebody returned it to the embassy, but Justin and I were stuck in Cambodia for like 3 or 4 days because the embassy is closed over the weekend. But the behind the scenes is we thought we were pretty sure where we dropped it or where he dropped it. So we were headed back. Well, Phil had they figured out that we lost it because we were kind of panicking. So Phil, we had won the league. Phil brought us back and said, you have this amount of time to find the passport until the last place team finishes. So we got in our cab. We were on our way back to the monastery, and one of the producers called their camera guys and said, oh, bring him back, bring him back. And so then we figured, oh, the last place team had finished, so we were pretty much done. And then we just sat around for an hour and a half until the sun went down. So it looked like we had been searching for all this time when we were just pretty much sitting around doing nothing, knowing that we were about to be eliminated. It was pretty rough.
Oh, yeah, that stinks. I mean, you're just sitting there, oh, gosh, the inevitable. But I'm so glad that they gave you a chance to go back.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you especially, right? So now, did you guys just get a call out of the blue to go back, or did you have to reapply?
No, we got a call. It wasn't necessarily out of the blue because they had done an all-star season in the past. So we figured, an all-star type season should be coming up pretty soon. So we didn't throw any hissy fits or fights when we had lost the passport and they were making us sit around for an hour because we kind of both knew, or we talked about, you know, they should be bringing teams back soon, so let's be on good behavior and not piss these people off. So, and they'll probably bring us back because of what just happened. And so, yeah, we were kind of expecting it. It was kind of, they were going to do something with bringing teams back soon, and we thought we had a good chance.
Oh, yeah, that was a really good strategy. You know, obviously it worked well. Did you, how do you feel that they portrayed you? I know that you're quite an inspiration to many in the autism community and, of course, people in general as well. And I, you know, when I was watching, I thought they did a tasteful job in portraying you, but I wasn't there. So I was wondering, did you ever worry, you know, how you might be portrayed as, quote, unquote, the contestant with Asperger's?
No, not really, because I was just being myself the whole time, and I thought they portrayed me as who I am, so they did an excellent job, and they won an Emmy for it, so there you go.
So there you go. Yeah, you know, I thought they did really well also. You know, I know sometimes it's tough because, you know, people in the media will sometimes, like, latch on to, quote, the autism thing and not latch on to the fact that we're people and just, you know, accept us for who we are. And
right.
you were a great, you know, you were yourself, but it was a great personality to watch. You and Justin have such chemistry. It just really came across. And
thank you.
You're very, very welcome. So what was your favorite part in the, you know, coming back? In, you guys made it all the way to fourth, right?
Yes. I guess my favorite part in coming back was just really getting the chance to experience the race, because the first time we had only raced for like a week, and then the second time we had made it all the way to the end pretty much. Not that I'm... But the fun thing was, the first time when you get eliminated, it's like you're one of the first five teams, then you get to go to Sequester City or Island, and they have like the first six teams there. They all hang out and party, and we got to do that with a really, really good group that I still talk to. So that was a fun consolation.
Well, that's kind of neat. I didn't realize that they had a sequester. I know they do that for Survivor, but so you got to just hang out for a while
we got to hang out for 2 weeks until the finale when they brought us back, because they can't send the teams home. Then people will know that they had lost.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So do you keep, you mentioned that you keep in touch with some of the players from that first season. Do you keep in touch with anyone from the All-Star season as well, like the Globetrotters or Keishin Jin?
Yeah, I do. Mike White put me on a show, Enlighten, that just ended last night. The last episode was last night, so I did some background work for him. And I don't really talk to a lot of people in general, but I talk to my race family and friends quite a bit. Enough, I guess.
Well,
they're
I'm
like,
sure,
oh,
you know,
I need to talk to this person, but I talk to them. I talk to who I choose to.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And since you guys shared like a similar experience, you guys can, you know, chat race type of stuff, and it just kind of comes naturally, I would imagine.
Yeah. I actually haven't talked to anybody about the new season, but yeah, I see them. And then we see each other every now and again for like special events. I think Jen's getting married soon, the winner from season 18. I think I'll probably end up going to the wedding, and it'll be like a mini race reunion. So that'll
Yeah, I bet it would.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat. You said that there's event parties. So now, do you guys have, like, every time a season ends, is there, like, a kind of like a cast party or any type of thing like that, you know, with the whole crew? Or how does that work?
There is, but I think it's only for that current cast because they have this thing in New York or wherever, and the whole cast goes down and watches the finale and that kind of stuff. But the fun thing was, for our season 18, it was the 10-year reunion.
Mm-hmm.
So they invited everybody from every season ever down to Miami to celebrate the 10-year reunion. And since we were one of, like, the final teams, everybody had watched our season, and it was like a big, amazing race party the whole weekend in Miami. It was a lot of super fun.
That must have been awesome. Do you have any favorite other teams from other seasons?
Well, my favorite moment of all time is Uchenna and Joyce when he was actually, I think, in Miami, and he was about to win, but he hadn't paid the taxi driver yet, so he was sitting outside of basically the final pit stop waiting to win $1 million and begging people for money so he could pay his taxi driver. That was my favorite moment of all.
Probably not his favorite moment.
Well, I'm sure it was because he...
In retrospect, yeah.
And then he won. Then he went and won $1 million.
Yes, I suppose if it hadn't turned out the positive way it had,
yeah,
it might have been a different thing.
Right.
So I heard that you and Justin were also awarded a special champion award from Holly Robinson Pete and Rodney Pete at one of their foundation events.
Yes.
Can you share a little bit about that?
Justin and I won the Holly Rod Champion Award for 2012 for our good deeds in the autism community. Being like, I guess, role models and figures.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, we went to this big gala out in the hills, and it was this big party gala with a lot of celebrities, and we were featured because we were winning an award. So that was a really nice evening, and I got to share it with my family and friends. It was really fun.
Holly's
a really good person in the autism community also.
That's great. So did you have the chance to, have you talked with a lot of other people that are in the autism community since the show? Have people come up to you and...
Nope.
Nope?
Nope.
Well, we've got to have you talking.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's do it. I mean, because, well, with autism empowerment, I mean, we're promoting, you know, acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, empowerment, and you're just the kind of person that it makes sense for people to talk with. I mean...
One would think so.
Yeah, well, I think so. So, you know, you think so. So, hey,
that
works.
Put me
so now,
work.
I you guys have a website, zevandjustin.com, which is where I originally learned about your Let's Get Digital Radio project, and I'm hoping you can take some time to tell our listeners about that.
About the radio show?
Yeah, the radio show. The radio on TV. What's it? It's radio in TV? Radio on
yeah,
radio
something
in TV.
Like that. Yeah. Internet radio. It's just a fun show I do on Wednesdays with Justin and our buddy Kevin, and we just, I guess we kind of do digital stuff because that is the name. We thought we were just going to have that as a name as the way in to get a show, but then it's kind of just become that way. So basically, it's just three friends hanging out, and we're just being filmed, even though we don't always act like it, and we have really cool guests on, and we just have a good time. So everybody can come on Wednesdays and watch it at tradiov.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @letusgetdigital, and then you can go. We have a website for it, too, where you can subscribe. It's letusgetdigital.com.
Letusgetdigital.com.
Yeah, so if you go there, you can subscribe and you'll get a weekly email to the show.
And, you know, it's kind of cool because you guys are there, you know, like for people out there who haven't seen it yet, you will visually see them, but they're doing radio. So it's both.
Yeah.
And I have to say, though, that their Let's Get Digital theme song is a play on Let's Get Physical. So now I have that
correct
song running through my head.
Don't remind me, because I don't want to get it running
through. Yeah. But I think that's part of the charm of the whole thing.
Yes.
So who are some of the guests you guys have had on?
We've had on Mike White. We've had on Will Sasso. We've had on Jaleel White. We've had on James Urbaniak, who is a big Vine guy. I guess Vine is this new kind of social media thing where you can make 6-second videos. We had on Andy Dick, because he does a show right after us. So he popped in the last week, and now he's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. So that'll be super fun for everybody at the station. And then tomorrow on Wednesday, we have a girl, our first girl guest, Taryn Southern.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've done a few Skype things, and it's really fun, and everybody should watch it.
That sounds like a real blast. Yes, everybody check in on that. Now, how did that come about?
Justin works at the radio station and begged his boss for a show.
And it worked.
He said, "Oh, I'm gonna bring in my buddy Kevin and Zev, and we're gonna do a show, and it's gonna be really good. Just trust me." So, that's what happened.
Well, that's a pretty awesome opportunity for you. What do you do in your other time when you're not doing the Let's Get Digital show?
I look for work. I look for a job.
Okay. And what field are you interested in doing most? Are you open to more TV, radio? What are you looking for?
I'm looking for anything, just a job these days. I know it's rough out there, and I know maybe people don't want to hire me because of Asperger's, but I don't know why that is. I don't necessarily think it's fair, but I know I can do just as good work, if not better, than anybody else. So I'm waiting for my opportunity.
You know, I commend you for being able to just speak openly like that. You know, I know it is tough a lot of times for, you know, individuals with Asperger's to find employment, and it stinks because we do work very hard. We're very loyal as a group, generally speaking.
Yes.
And I think you would have a lot to offer. So anyone out there who might have any connections, you know, how would they go ahead and contact you if they had an opportunity to talk with you about?
I guess they can contact me on Twitter.
And that's at Zev Glassenberg, right?
Yes.
Now, are you looking to do any more reality TV in the future? I know I've seen some people cross over from one CBS show to another. Are you ever interested in doing anything else like that?
Sure. I'll do. I thought I would be a good contestant for Worst Cooks in America because I don't cook, and I did pretty good. I would say I was pretty entertaining on Amazing Race. So why not throw me in the kitchen? I do that, right?
Oh, you know, my husband would probably try to get me on that show, too.
we could do it together.
Sounds good. Sounds good. What about Survivor or Big Brother? Do you think that you'd do well in a format like that, like those shows?
I think I would do better on Big Brother than... I'm not so into just going out in the wilderness and trying to survive. It's not my thing.
I kind of hear you there. I don't know how well I would do it. It's fun to watch, but not my forte in terms of...
Oh, yeah. If I had the choice, I would probably choose to do Big Brother.
I think you'd be a great personality on Big Brother, so...
Well, thank you.
You're very, very welcome. I would definitely watch, for sure. Is there anything else? We've got about 9 minutes left, so we can talk about different things. Is there anything else you want to talk about with our listeners about The Amazing Race that was really cool that we haven't shared yet?
I would just say maybe if you're hesitant or thinking about doing it and not sure, it's like, just go ahead and apply, because what do you have to lose? You don't
That's
really
true.
Have anything to lose. And if you get on the show, then you have a 1 in 11 shot of winning $1 million and getting an experience of a lifetime. That's what I think. That's what I've encountered. People are like, oh, we really want to do the show, but we're not going to apply. It's 25 days experience of a lifetime. So I don't know why these people are so hesitant.
Well, you know, Zev, I think a lot of people, you know, I'm kind of like you. I'm a risk taker, so it's just, you know, I'll go ahead and apply and I'll do these things, and people go, are you kidding me? You know, why are you doing that? And it's just like, well, because it makes sense, you know, like you said, you have this wonderful opportunity to travel the world, to win a whole lot of money, and to just, you know, do really cool stuff. Why wouldn't you?
Exactly.
Yeah. So what about challenges during the race, though? You know, did you ever have any – do you have any sensory challenges?
Yeah, we were in India, and it is so noisy and disgusting and smelly there. I couldn't wait to leave that place. It is – India is gross. I'm sorry. It's just gross. And so we had to do a roadblock, and I guess it was maybe my turn – because you're supposed to do 5 and 5,
mm-hmm.
and it was kind of my turn to do it, but I said, no, I can't do this, because I was just freaking out because it was so noisy and disgusting there that Justin ended up doing the roadblock.
How did you cope with that? You know, because I know that when I experience like so much sensory overload, it's just like I'm feeling like, oh, this isn't going to work, you know. How did you handle it? How did you get through it?
I just thought to myself, we're in a competition. This is part of it, that you just gotta make it through it, and that's it. So that was my mindset. You just gotta make it, tough it up and make it through it.
Mhm.
So that's what I did.
So you did, and I suppose you were happy when you got into a different environment.
Yes, I think everybody was happy when they got into a different environment than India.
Did you have a favorite country?
My favorite country was Australia.
Mm.
Because they're just so nice and beautiful, and the people were friendly, and the girls were nice to look at. It was just very nice.
Have you traveled since The Amazing Race?
No, I have not.
Yeah, it's kind of, it'd be kind of cool if they ended up having like another like reunion race where they had, you know, would you be willing to go back again with Justin?
Yes, in a second.
In a second. That's great. So as far as the race goes, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that we don't get to see. What are some of the things that they prepare you for before you actually go on the show?
What are some of the things they... Well, we have an orientation like a week in advance before we go on, so I don't know if they prepare you for much. It's because it's not scripted or anything. It's just go out there and race around the world. They don't really prepare you for much. They tell you the rules and stuff, and to be respectful and you're representing your country, but they don't really prepare you.
As far as things like, you know, like airports and running through airports and different things like that, and did you ever have any concerns that, you know, you guys might get in trouble anywhere or, you know?
No, as people in airports see that, well, first of all, when you're in an airport with, like, 24 other Americans just running, people are smart enough to figure out that, oh, something's probably going on. There's, like, yeah. So there's, like, 22 contestants, and then the camera guy, so what is that, like 40 people, just 40 Americans running through an airport? Yeah, so.
I think it would be fun to have someone film that, you know, from the outside, that whole, how that whole thing looks, you know.
I think it is filmed, it's just not a part of the race, so it's not, that's not aired.
I would imagine they must use an awful lot of film just to, you know, to try to narrow things down to, you know, an hour show each week.
Oh, definitely. And then they pay for all the plane tickets. In the first season, Justin and I were, I think we were in Japan, and we were just buying plane tickets left and right. We must have spent like $10,000 in about 15 minutes. We were so worried about, we just wanted to get all these plane tickets so we could be safe and secure. But the thing is, I don't tell you, you have to buy 4 plane tickets because you have to buy for your camera guys. So you go up to the counter and you say you want 2 when the camera catches that, but you really tell the guy you need 4.
Ah, okay. And I would imagine for the cab rides, it would be like, you know, the same thing because someone has to film you.
Yeah, but they normally give you enough money to cover the cab rides. They give you enough money to survive, and if you can do with your money what you want. Like, we didn't spend our money on food a lot because we didn't want to take the chance of losing any money in case we needed it. So that's where you have to be smart about your money.
Mhm. So would you, like, at the pit stops when you guys would have the break between, you know, would you get fed then?
Yeah, at the pit stops, most of the time they put you up in the hotel and then they give you room service. You don't have to pay for that. They take care of that. The producers and whatnot take care of that part because you're not racing.
Mhm. You're just kind of waiting. So
yeah. It's a 12, 24, or 36 hour pit stop. Normally they're like 12 to 16 hours on most days.
Did you ever feel just so exhausted racing, you know, from, I would imagine the time changes would be kind of.
Yeah, the time changes are pretty rough, but the worst part is when you get back home because it takes you like 2 weeks or more to adapt to the time changes. Because when you're running the race, I personally think your body knows what's going on because you're training and preparing and telling your body and your mind that, oh, you're about to do this race, so your body does this magical thing where it adjusts for you and helps you out. That's what I think. It could be totally wrong, but that's what I like to think, that it helps you out.
Yeah, it does. I love the insight that you're giving. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, as a super fan of you and the show, it's really interesting to know the behind-the-scenes stuff. I wish we had more time. We're coming now down to the end of our show, but I hope that we'll be able to have you back on again in the future and talk about the cool stuff you're doing with Let's Get Digital and any other projects. Maybe even have you and Justin on together to talk if you want to do that. We'd be more than happy to.
That's fine by me.
And so I'm going to give you a couple minutes, and then our show's going to end, to just kind of go ahead and let our listeners know again about how to ask you how to get in touch and watch Let's Get Digital, just so that we can help them remember that.
Okay. Well, I'm on Twitter, at Zev Glassenberg. So you can follow me there. And if you want to give me a job, I guess you can write me a message or email me on Facebook, and I'm Zev Glassenberg there. I don't really like Facebook because I don't really care about people's statuses and whatnot. And then you can follow us for the internet radio show at Let Us Get Digital. And then you can go to the website. The website is letusgetdigital.com, and you can subscribe, and you'll get a weekly notice when our show is. And then you can watch us every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific at tvaov.com/LA. If you want to have a good time, you can watch us. If you don't want to have a good time, don't watch us.
Well, and who doesn't want to have a good time?
Exactly.
So you got to watch. And if you can't catch the show live, you can watch it later in archive, right? Or on demand?
Yeah, in archive.
Yeah, that's with Blog Talk Radio. That's with our show today too. In case people aren't listening live, they're listening on demand right now. So make sure that you plug into their show, both their current shows that are coming up, get on their newsletter mailing list, and check out some of their archives. You've got to see Zev doing the Harlem Shake in his silver pajamas. It's awesome. So anyway, thank you so much for taking the time to come on air, Zev. You are a wonderful guest, and I had a great time talking with you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Listeners, you've been listening to Karen Krejcia with Autism Empowerment at Autism Empowerment Radio. Our special guest today is Zev Glassenberg from The Amazing Race and Let's Get Digital. It's been a great show, and we look forward to having you tune in next time. Thanks.